wrathful monster who was goading me forward. I'd wanted to beat him to a pulp and maybe to death, but in the end, I knew he was right. I pulled the knuckles off and stuck them back in my pocket.
That's what a clear conscience gets you, Sheriff. Nothing.
The grin broadened.
Now you're talking sense. Get me out of this chair, and let's get going. I can't promise it's going to be a good trip for you, but maybe we can just let your friends go home.
Nope. The smile faded a bit.
Nope what?
You're not leaving. Culpepper glanced around and sounded a little less sure of himself.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
I leaned against the wall and folded my arms just to give them something to do. In the 70s, when I got back from Vietnam, we had a rash of bank robberies in Wyoming. Nothing too sophisticated, just the usual smash-and-grab kind of thing. Anyway, the security at a lot of the banks was out of date, so they had this big show in Casper about all the new varieties of equipment and vaults. I walked to one of the walls and patted it. I'm thinking this was built around the same time. I turned to look at him. Torero was probably a thriving little town before your kind got here.
Fuck this town and fuck you. Look, if you want to get those nooks back out and beat on me, big man, you go ahead and do it. But I've been beat on before, and I didn't say anything then, and I'm sure as hell not going to say anything now.
I studied him a bit more and then patted the wall again. Reinforced concrete about 5 feet thick, backed by about 6 inches of steel. I ran a hand toward the doorway. Vault door with an iron face, and another inch and a half of cast steel, another 12 inches of burn-resistant steel, and another inch of open hearth steel. This particular vault door has 20 bolts, each an inch in diameter, that holds the door into a 16-inch steel jamb set in 16 inches of concrete. I tapped the steel. Now, the door is precision-made, so you can't pour anything into the seam. I glanced around. Even old Dillinger would sure as heck have had trouble with this one. He licked his lips, and I could see the panic growing in him like a virus.
Look, if your plan is to bore me to death...
I took the lamp from Aiden. Doesn't look as though there's been any money in here for quite some time. I came over and set the lamp at Culpepper's feet. When it was in operation, I bet this place was kind of hard to get into. I brought my face up to look at him.
However, what you should be specifically concerned about is getting out.
He was perfectly still now and not so talkative. I glanced back at Aiden. How long do you think this lamp will last? He shrugged. A half gallon of oil? It will probably burn for 150 hours, give or take.
6 days.
I turned back to Culpepper. He'll be long dead before that. He stared at me. I nodded. People are always worried about starving to death, but it's really dehydration they should worry about. It usually takes a week, but with your lack of body fat and recent alcohol intake, I'd say you're probably already on your way. I glanced back at Aiden. What do you say, Doc?
5 days at the most.
Do you stay hungry and thirsty all the way to the end? He stepped forward, his voice surprisingly conversational.
No, the body is an amazingly adaptive mechanism. It will cry out for food and drink for the first day or two, but then realizes that it isn't getting any more and adjusts.
How?
It begins devouring the fat cells within itself, fat cells being full of water. It is how camels survive in the desert, by living off the fat cells in their humps.
He took another step toward Culpepper.
But you, my friend, have no hump.
Side effects?
His bowels and kidneys will continue to evacuate until they are empty. And there will be a great drying of the lips and mouth, but other than that, not much.
I stood.
Is it painful?
After the period of hunger and thirst? No, I think not. In the research that has been done in voluntary suicide by dehydration, I have heard that it's actually quite peaceful.
I shook my head. That's too bad. His eyes flicked between Aiden and me.
So what are you going to do? Walk out of here and lock me in?
I pulled a piece of paper from my shirt pocket. I found the combination chalked on the vault. Pretty smart, actually. I copied it down and then rubbed it off the door. Now, there might be a few old-timers around here who remember the combination, but I don't think it's going to matter because when I close that door, there isn't going to be a living soul who knows you're down here besides Aiden and me. I turned to the doc. I'm not going to tell anybody. Are you?
No.
I walked over and patted Culpepper on the shoulder. So, you get to sit here and shit and piss yourself until your tongue turns to boot leather. He snorted, waiting for me to say more, but I didn't.
You haven't got the guts to do this.
You have my daughter. You watch me.
You're sworn to serve and protect.
Not you. The last time I looked, you weren't a resident of Absaroka County.
I walked over to Aiden.
In a sense, you're right. I mean, I don't think I could stand here and beat a bound man into talking without hating myself, but this way, I'm just walking out, closing the door and letting nature take its course. His eyes were a little wider now.
I'll scream and yell and...
Weren't you listening? These walls are 5 feet thick. Nobody's going to hear you.
I turned to Aiden and remade for the door.
I don't know if I'd want that lamp or not, but then I'm not afraid of the dark, and I've got...
What is it you called it? A clear conscience?
Ushering the doc through the door, I turned back. See you around, Culpepper. He raised his voice.
You're going to regret this!
I nodded. Yep. I probably will, but I'll get over it.
That's not what I mean, asshole. He's got an army up there.
I held the door, now about two-thirds closed. Tell me about it. He spat the words, the bloody saliva still dripping from his mouth.
Fuck you!
I guess you won't be needing this after all. Picking up the lamp, I began pushing the sealed door, the lamplight squeezing on the floor as if I were mashing it. Adios. Urging the heavy thing forward, I was within an inch of it closing, when he screamed,
Wait!
I opened the door a bit and looked in at one of those pale blue eyes that was still visible in the thin strand of light that pierced the vault. His expression hadn't changed. If anything, he looked more vengeful, the strings of saliva dripping from his mouth with the words,
I'll tell you whatever you want to know, because it doesn't make any motherfucking difference, because you're going to be dead in a matter of days, and that I can guarantee you.
How did you get him to talk?
I placed Bianca's bag in the trunk of the caddy with everyone else's and gestured toward her brother. We plied the better angels of his nature. She looked at me doubtfully.
Did you kill him?
I sighed. No, I'm not a killer. At least not when I don't have to be. I've learned over the years that killing people is just lazy. Better to use your imagination. I closed the trunk of the caddy.
More fun, too. I'm beginning to think you're psychotic.
I wrapped the side of the dusty convertible and offered her a hand as she climbed in on the driver's side, the seer already in the front.
You might be right.
I followed her and pulled the seat back so Aiden could get in.
The lock of the vault doesn't work?
Broken. But he didn't know that. Alonzo climbed into the driver's seat after we were situated in the back.
Do you have somebody you can call to go down and let him out in a few days?
Aiden nodded.
The mayor.
As Alonzo started the car and slipped into gear, the seer finally spoke.
You should have killed him.
I glanced at Bianca and gestured toward the blind man.
There's your killer.
He shook his head at me.
We have an old saying in Mexico. Bondad a un asesino, construye ataúdes.
I waited as he stared back at me, the dead eyes completely hidden by the heavy sunglasses.
Kindness to a killer builds coffins.
We took the road north, back the way we'd come, and then Alonso took a left and we bumped along on another dirt road that angled toward the mountains. The sun was just beginning to ease up our spines when he circled a funky-looking old blue bus and a broken-down corral with a lone cow standing in front of an ancient aeromotor windmill and a large stone building that looked to be holding a lot of loosely bound hay. The lights were on in a small cottage about half the size of the barn, where a bunch of people were standing on the porch in the quarter light of dawn. Alonso cut the engine, got out of the car, and flipped the seat far enough forward for us to get out. The Orfanato, an unofficial title.
I helped Bianca out of the caddy. How many children are there? She placed her hands at the small of her back and stretched.
Who knows? It varies. The old woman here, she takes in the unwanted children.
I went to the back and got the Sears wheelchair. The cow bawled at us, and Bianca walked across the dusty turnaround to rub the creature's nose.
What's her problem, do you think?
Aiden and Alonzo approached the house as I set up the Sears chair. He expertly flipped himself out of the car and into it, and I started to push him toward the small stone building.
I'd say she needs milking.
We opened a small gate which led to the porch, where a gnome-like woman was gesturing emphatically. Wheeling the blind man in closer, I listened to the conversation, although not understanding much of it, as a good half-dozen children of different ages hung to the posts or leaned against the wall. A young girl with large eyes, who clutched one of the wooden poles like it was a lifesaver, stared at me. I looked back at her and smiled. Hola! She hid behind the post. I waited a few minutes, listening to the cow bawl and the adults argue, and decided I might be more useful in the corral. I left the sear with Bianca, swiped a metal pail, and then started back toward the cow. Climbing over and using one of the lower poles as a seat, I began milking her, and she immediately calmed. She wasn't very big and a little on the lean side, but she was putting out, and after a bit the bucket was half full.
You look like you've done that before.
I turned on the stool and looked at her, backlit by the very first rays of the sun. I grew up on a ranch, a cattle ranch, I grant you, but I've been around a dairy cow or two. Patting Bossy's side, I nodded toward the porch. What's going on? The burros and mules have not been gathered and are scattered all over the place, so it will take time to bring them in.
She didn't know we were coming?
Bianca laid her arms on the top rail and peered at me over them.
It's Mexico.
Who's going to wrangle? Aiden and Alonzo, I suppose.
I'll pay money to see that.
Me too.
So how does she take care of all those kids?
She says she is a strong tree with branches for many birds.
I rose and carefully handed Bianca the bucket. Here, give that to the strong tree and see if it improves her mood. Watching Bianca walk back toward the house, I couldn't help but admire the view, and she must have known because she slipped a glance at me from over her shoulder as she passed her brother, who was coming my way. Aiden got to the corral and assumed the same position in the same spot as his sister had.
We may have to walk. The stock are scattered all over the desert.
So I heard, I nodded.
Does she feed them?
I don't know.
Find out and then how she does it. He nodded and started away, but then stopped.
How do you wish to proceed?
What do you mean? He shook his head and sighed with a sense of resignation.
My sister and the seer, they wish to come with us.
On the burros? He laughed. There are supposedly four mules, but they may be in Guadalajara for all we know. He smiled. Alonzo, I am not so sure about.
Aiden, I think it's time we leveled with each other.
I walked over to him and tipped my hat back. As feeble as it is, this has all the makings of a military ops, and people are going to die. And the more people we have to worry about, the more likely it'll be us.
Agreed.
No to the seer and no to your sister. I shrugged. Alonzo can make up his own mind, and for that matter, so can you.
I don't expect you to do this either, Aiden, but from what I understand, you've been trained and have a knack for this kind of thing.
I was originally with the Dirección Federal de Seguridad, but when they started to protect the Nicaraguan Contras and the assassinations and torture became too disturbing, I objected. For this, I was given a forced disappearance, as they call it. He looked at his shoes and then at me. I am assuming you have friends and co-workers back in the U.S. who would have assisted you?
Yes.
Why aren't they here?
I reached into my shirt pocket and held up the postcard I'd shown him before.
Because this says come.
And I assumed now. I stuffed it back in my pocket. I know that Bedard has a habit of popping up and also of disappearing, and I can't risk that he might do that with my daughter. I glanced north. Anyway, I outran my friends.
What you are attempting to do to us now?
He pulled out a cigar and lighter.
Did you keep Culpepper's gun?
I did. I wish we had more weapons. I thought about the fact that we pretty much just had the Colt at my back, the FN, and the collection of antique weaponry in the gym bag.
Me too.
He lit the cigar and pocketed the lighter.
You know he is going to kill you.
I know it's a possibility. He took a deep puff, savoring the tobacco, and then slowly exhaled.
I'd say it's a probability.
The name of the girl with big eyes was Alicia, and she watched me as I shook the bucket with the cracked corn rattling like a maraca. The mule looked at me but didn't move.
Look, we can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way.
My grandfather had had mules, a team of them, actually, and I didn't remember them being difficult or recalcitrant. But I did remember him saying that a good mule is 10 times better than a horse, but that a bad one was 100 times worse. I glanced at the little girl and shook the bucket some more, and the mule readjusted her 4 feet in a try. With the help of the children, we'd captured 3 donkeys and 3 other mules rather quickly with the bucket, but this larger one had been a little more standoffish. Taking a step closer, I held the lead rope behind my back in hopes I wouldn't spook her. But my patience was running thin, and if she didn't take the food in the bucket before long, I was going to be walking to Bidar's village, as none of the other animals looked large enough to be able to carry someone my size. I ached to get going, but knew it was futile without assistance. I shook the bucket some more and angled it toward her. Come on. You're not going to find any corn out here other than this. She was dappled gray, and most likely had had an Appaloosa mother. She had expressive eyes and a lot of scars. The old woman had said her name was La Rusia, which means gray in Spanish, because that's what color she was. La Rusia, you know, she's not the first to have that name. Alicia studied me. Sancho Panza's mount was El Rusio. I shook the bucket some more and was just about to give up, when she took a step my way and tilted her head at me, the long, sensitive ear twitching. Read much Cervantes, Rusia? She eyed me, but did extend her nose. We're going to go tilt some windmills. You want to go? She nudged the bucket, but then backed away. Granted, they're highly armed, psychotic windmills. Alicia reached into the bucket and scooped out a miniature handful and took a step toward the mule. She held it out to her, and Rusia lowered her head to nibble a little from the flat of the girl's palm. Of course, that story ends with Don Quixote on his deathbed, threatening to disinherit his niece if she marries a man who reads books about chivalry. Sliding the lead rope from my shoulder, I handed Alicia the loop and watched as she gently draped it over Rusia's nose and then, on tiptoe, tried to reach it over her crown, whereupon I reached out and slipped the loop around the mule's head and over her long ears. Not quite as whimsically literary as the first part, which Cervantes had written 10 years previously, but the old guy was dying and needed to get a book out. The mule started, and I dropped the bucket but held the rope, and we stood there, the 3 of us, looking at one another. I'm not so sure the old Don should have ever recovered his senses. Alicia held her hands out, and I lifted her onto my shoulders, picked up the bucket, and led Rusia reluctantly through the cactus and volcanic rock back toward the little ranch. Sometimes, when there aren't any other options, you should just stay crazy. We talked the whole way back to the dry ranch, none of us understanding the other, but all of us enjoying the conversation. The sun was all of a sudden hot, and as I rounded the corral, I could see the full complement of our party engaged in a passionate argument on the porch as the 3 burros and 3 mules that were tied to the rail looked on. I handed the little girl to Bianca, who was waiting at the edge of the porch.
You're ditching us?
I tied the mule up with the other 3, and the 3 burros that I was thinking were too small to be of use. To be honest, there are people who are going to be killed. Most likely, many people who will be killed, and I don't want to have to worry about anybody while I'm up there. She held Alicia on one hip.
Worry about us? What, the woman and the blind man?
Everybody. She stepped off the porch and looked up at me.
Funny, because if I hadn't been there in the bank, you would probably be dead.
I'm not saying you weren't a help.
She set Alicia down on the porch and then turned to thrust her chin out at me. I will be again.
I can't risk it.
You can't.
My party, so I sent out invitations. It was harsh, I knew, but I couldn't see me taking the entire ragtag team up the mountain to certain death. I don't know what Aiden's plans are, but if you want to help, you'll wait for us here.
I glanced toward the mountains.
If we make it, I've got an idea we'll be headed back this way at a high rate of speed, and we'll need somebody with the motor running.
You are so lacking in imagination.
I nodded. You wouldn't be the first woman to tell me that. I collected my mule and took the leads on the three others, taking them all to the corral before she could say anything more. Alonzo had collected the gear and piled it on the railings along with a pack saddle and some large canvas bags.
The short, stocky mule took the pad and pack saddle easily, and I had the suspicion it wasn't the first time he'd had it on his back.
Are there any riding saddles?
Alonzo stared at me. I don't know.
I nodded and glanced toward the barn, but figured first we needed to get a few things straight. Are you coming? The only reason I'm asking is that if you are, I'm going to have to do something different with the mules.
He glanced back at the house. Do you really think we're going to die?
Probably.
How can you be so calm about it?
I thought about the running monologue I'd engaged in with the little girl in the desert, and how I doubted she'd understood a word, but was also glad that I'd had something to do other than stand out there and scream, "My daughter!" He studied me, his face a question mark.
Because you love her?
Because I'll do anything to get her back. After tightening the cinch, I lifted the bags onto the cradle and balanced the load. I've been in this business almost my whole life, and I can tell you that who's the biggest, meanest, toughest, smartest doesn't mean a damn thing. It's who is willing to go further than anybody else. And to save my daughter, I'll go as far as hell and back and never blink an eye. I looked at him from over the pack saddle. I don't expect anybody else to do that. I couldn't. So if you want to sit this one out, Alonzo, nobody's going to hold it against you. Honest. I turned and walked toward the barn, entering it through the stalls beside a crumpled stone wall, and found the tack area, where a few old McClellan saddles were propped up, along with some desiccated leather halters. I didn't see any bridles, so figured the halters must be what was used. When I moved them away from the wall, I uncovered some writing that read, "Zapata estaba aquí." Somehow I doubt that. There was a noise to my left, and I saw Alicia standing by the rock wall. "Hi, you." She didn't move, so I pulled down the halters and found a rag to wipe off the dust and cobwebs. I figured if there was any oil in the leather, I might coax it out by rubbing the surface. So I stretched the things on the rough countertop that covered a manger and began rubbing the life back into them. And before long, a slight shine began showing. "You don't talk much, do you?"
She still didn't say anything, but sidled along the wall to stand near me.
"I was pretty much the same way. You can learn a lot by being quiet. People forget you're there."
She watched me polishing the tack and rested a hand on the edge of the counter.
"This job would be a lot easier if there was some oil around here. You don't happen to know where some might be, do you?"
She stared at me. Running through my high school Spanish, I searched for the word, finally coming up with one for the wrong type of oil, but hoped it might get the meaning across. "Petróleo?" Looking up at me, she pushed on the lid of the manger just a little, and I could see that it was hinged in the back.
"Gracias."
I readjusted a few things and lifted the heavy top, revealing a compartment with more rags and a cleaning kit with small hammer and sickle emblems pressed into the tin, along with two AK-47 Type 3 assault rifles.
Well, maybe Zapata was here after all.
Chapter 7. I let Aiden lead with the assumption that he knew where he was going, which might have been an exercise in hopeful thinking. "Are we lost?" He paused on the trail leading up from the rustic bridge at the river,
just long enough to push his perfectly white hat back on his head and glance at me.
There is only one trail. Why?
You didn't look certain.
I'm on a mule. That alone makes me uncertain.
The river was below us, the trail no more than 2 feet wide, and I watched as the mules carefully picked their way, sometimes crossing their hooves to stay on the narrow path.
And this is the good way, huh? He shrugged. The best way to not get shot.
Alonzo had elected discretion over valor, and had decided to stay at the orfanato with the others.
But the fastest way down is where the missing bridge is, near your place north of here?
Yes, but as you say, there is no bridge, at least not one you would want to cross.
Can you ford the stream up there?
It is dangerous this time of year.
But it can be done?
He turned in the saddle to look at me.
Why do you ask?
Well, if things go as badly as I'm anticipating, then we're going to be looking for the fastest way out of there, and I just want to know if that's it.
It is, but it's dangerous.
We climbed up the steep trail to a switchback.
Can I ask you something, Sheriff?
Sure.
Why did it take you so long to load the mules?
I thought about whether I wanted to tell him, whether I wanted to tell anyone, but figured that since he was the only one risking his life by coming along with me on this harebrained scheme, he had a right. I'll show you when we get to the rim of the canyon. It took a